And apparently I was on mute the entire time. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Beards on MMA for this week. It's time for another exciting edition, and this week we welcome back one of my favorite guests from the old show. One of the funniest guests in general, making his return to the UFC cage at 187, is Josh the Gremlin Sampo. It's just a reminder as well that downloads of all Beards on MMA shows are available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Blog Talk Radio, including all of our previous episodes. Beards on MMA, sponsored by the Mod Cabin. Backwoods Beauty Products for Bearded Men, available always and anytime 24/7, themodcabin.com. All one word, all lowercase, and on Twitter at the Mod Cabin. Follow us on Twitter at Beards on MMA. Find us on Facebook under the show's name. We're always looking for new sponsors. You can hit us up, email us, beardsonmma@gmail.com, because we're legit that way. All right, it's time that we roll in and bring on the true stars of the show. So we're gonna bring in Cutman Matt here and Jordan. Gentlemen, the fact that I was on mute for like a minute and a half and I was just going and talking and talking and talking, this is why we don't do the show live anymore.
I was like, I can't hear shit.
Yeah.
And Jordan's like, I can't hear shit either. And I'm like, what's going on?
And here I am just going on. And the best part of it is people are going to be listening to this part, but by the time they listen to it, I'm going to have edited out that first minute or so. And they're going to be like,
what
the hell?
And they're going to be like, no, that sounds good.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, it sounds good. Yeah, it sounds good. Yeah, I should edit this part out too. Guys, it's now going around. It's confirmed as well that Burt Watson has left the UFC. And so my question for you guys is, can Jordan do the job without offending everybody? Because I think you could be a pretty good hype man, Jordan, and a pretty good babysitter to the stars.
I couldn't do it. I'm probably just as moody as they are. There is no plus. Plus, like 99% of them could probably whoop my ass. So,
well, they couldn't take Bert too. So, you know, it's not an issue.
What?
Just be like, hey, Jordan, give me a quick. We rolling, baby.
I don't do that.
He's like,
nope. There's got to be cash in hand before I start making an ass of myself.
I've only had one, interaction with Bert, and I haven't actually spoken with him, but I've only been in the same room with Bert once, and that was at the MMA Awards there. And when he got that Lifetime Achievement Award, he was doing his own little hype speech and getting everybody hyped, and he didn't have to do that. I thought that was pretty cool. It just seems like it was an extension of his personality, and that's why he was so well beloved and I guess so perfect for the job.
Yeah, he'd been in the sport for a long time, since old school boxing days, you know, and he was an integral part of the UFC. I don't think people realize just how important he was, you know, and that's a big loss for them. So I think that they need Jordan. I think that's what they need. I mean,
yeah,
there's nobody else.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The personality.
Why did he leave?
You know what? That's still up in the air. There's a lot of rumors. I'm not going to lie. I reached out a little bit today to some people. And they were either told not to fucking say a word, or they really don't know. So I'm gonna go with the fact
that then.
I don't know. You know, there's a lot of rumors. There's rumors that it has something to do with that head injury that he had down in Mexico when the step and repeat bar fell on his head. There's rumors that he had a problem with Munoz at the weigh-ins. There's people saying he was in his 70s. He just retired. So who knows? You know, the only thing for certain right now is that the only person that really knows is Bert, and Bert's not talking to anybody. He is radio silent. You know, I read today that he hasn't even returned Dana or the Fertitta's tweets or texts or anything like that. So he is truly staying out of.
I honestly didn't pay attention to this all day, but as soon as you said nobody's talking about it, I'm just like, oh God, I gotta know.
Yeah, it's crazy. It was just shocking how fast it happened. Somebody like Bert, like you can't just replace Bert like one
mm-hmm.
show. Like you can't. It's not like me. Like honestly, like my position at Bellator, like it wouldn't be as pretty of a show. Let's be honest, without this beard. But if I were to not be at the next show, the show would still go on without much of a hitch in their giddy up. But like with Bert, like that could really throw things into disarray. So it's just shocking to me that it happened so suddenly.
I want to give the UFC a $10 idea here. I'm not going to call it a $1 million idea, but I'm going to call it a $10 idea because it's not that great of an idea. I am very sick of seeing season after season after season of The Ultimate Fighter. And you know what I would like to see? If, in fact, Bert's gone and Bert's gone permanently, I would actually like to see a reality show, maybe just, you know, around 8 weeks or something like that, where they actually look for the next hype man for the UFC. Because
that's
one of the things,
actually.
Because one of the things that the UFC did really well in the later years with Bert was a public figure. Everybody knew who he was, you know, and he was just out there. And I think in that case, you know, if you're going to be replacing Bert, you're going to have to replace him with something good. You're going to have to replace him with somebody that wants to be just as public as he was. And so for something like that, you know, I don't think there's any better way than to introduce this person through like a reality show where you have to get used to this person for a certain period of time and they have to get used to the UFC. You know, maybe you have eight people and they all you know, hype various fights at a UFC event, like a, maybe not a pay-per-view, but like a UFC fight night that takes place in, like, you know, Asheville, Oklahoma or something like that.
Yeah.
And eventually, you know, it's kind of the way that you cultivate the new talent.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I mean, there's no better way to introduce people, you know, to the public now than reality TV, let's be honest. That's just the world we live in now. And I think that's a really good idea. I wish that you had said it to me offline so I could have come up with better responses to it or something like that, because now you hit me with it. And I'm like, damn, Mesh is really, really smart right now. I think that's a, you know, and we, you know, we kind of have one over at Bellator too, and I'm sure World Series of Fighting has their own, but Bert was definitely the most well-known. He was the OG of the whole damn thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what? If you do that show, you know what you need? You need to have Bert judge that shit. Bring back Bert and let him
take
his replacement. Right. Well, we don't know why he left, but, you know, if it was because of, you know, maybe he wanted to retire because of the grueling travel schedule, you know, maybe this is something that can keep him in the spotlight, but, you know, doesn't wear and tear on him quite so much or something like that, you know? Kind of like what was that reality show with P. Diddy where he was trying to find his new assistant? I watched that shit on me. I loved the hell out of that show.
I'm sorry. I only remember the P. Diddy sketch from the Chappelle show where he sends people out looking for a Cambodian woman's breast milk at 2 in the morning.
But that's kind of what he did for real on this reality show. You know, that's where the sketch came from. He would be like, hey, I'm in New York. I need to get to L.A. in 3 hours. And the people would be like, what do you want me to do? What? And he's like, I don't know. Figure it out. And then it was just like gone. And they're like, do we rent a Concorde? What do we do here? Do Concorde even still fly? So,
was that the sketch with Dylon and the five greatest rappers in the world? Dylon, 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 mm-hmm. Dylon, mm-hmm. Dylon. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, that was good. That was good times, man. That was good times. But yeah, I think you know, if anybody in the UFC is listening to this show, and I highly doubt it, Matt's compliment has now boosted that up to a $500 idea. So I'll be around to claim my royalties.
If anything, Dana, what I'm gonna do now is at the next show, I'm gonna take it to like some of the Spike people that come to our show, and be like, you know what, really great idea I had.
You guys, here's one for you. You guys should poach the shit out of Bert Watson. Bring him over.
You know, I don't know. And I say this with all love to the UFC. I've heard that it's two very different cultures between Bellator and the UFC. You know, I don't spend much time over, you know, I know quite a few UFC people and have friends there and fighters and coaches and people that work in the front office and stuff. But from what I understand, the culture is just really different. So I don't know necessarily that, you know, that Bert would like working for us. And I think that Bert might be a shock on our end. You know what I mean?
I think another thing to consider, Jordan, is that Bert admitted when he got his Lifetime Achievement Award that he was actually in the process of retiring. Like, he was retired from doing all of this when the UFC hired him. And they had to convince him to sort of come out of retirement to do it. So I just think,
but
you know,
we only
he's
do 16 shows a year in Jordan's
true.
Defense. We only do 16
yep.
shows a year. So
that is true.
It's pretty chill. He can live the cut life with me a little bit if you want. You know, so we can. I don't know if he's a drinker, but I bet.
If he wants to get into podcasting, come on. We could use a fourth.
There we go.
Bert have a beard, so
he fits. He fits the mold. All right.
Not trying to brag, but I spent the last 10 minutes building Legos. It's pretty rad. I'm building a Lego spaceship right now.
I'm pretty envious of you. We're actually just in the process of grabbing all of the baby Mega blocks out of storage here. Charlotte's about to turn one, and she's looking for new things to do. So we're about to whip out the baby Mega blocks and see if she's interested in doing that. But she still puts everything in her mouth, so we got to keep like the Mega blocks, little people or whatever they call them, away from her.
Go ahead, Jordan. Go ahead. I fucked your joke up.
Yeah, it's yours now.
No, look, I don't have a joke for this. I don't have a Lego joke.
I was going to say, if you can't put them in your mouth, how else are you supposed to separate them?
I think it's a little bit easier at that age when the Mega blocks are like 85 times the size of the little Legos. But man, I remember when I was a kid and I was like 10 years old and somebody told me that there was an actual brick separator that you could buy. And I was like, bullshit. Mm-hmm. And then I get this thing and I'm like, this is the greatest. Why doesn't this come with every Lego set? Because that's what
I have never once in my life seen a Lego separator.
Oh,
you've never
it's like
seen
a little
it.
Fork-looking thing.
It's like this
and
little
fork-looking,
yeah.
With, yeah. And you jam it in there. Yeah, black magic. Black magic.
Like this, I'm calling this. If you don't bust the end of your fingertips and bend back your nails and cut your gums, then you're not actually playing Legos.
It's like earning a tattoo. Of course it hurts.
It is.
Yeah. That's how you earn it.
That's how you know you're doing it right.
I was going to say, I spent my day getting fucked over by Michaels. I don't know if Matt, do they have Michaels up in Canada, the home craft stores, like where you can go buy frames and
big
flowers
absolutely.
And shit?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I go there. Here's what I need. One of their common 11 by 17 frames, their cheap ones, that they always have a billion of on the shelf, and an 11 by 14 shadow box. So I go there. They don't have the 11 by 14 shadow box that I'm used to. It's some kind of different one. And then they don't have any of the 11 by 17 frames at all. So I'm like, fuck. Because I'm trying to frame a signed fight poster and a pair of fight gloves. Mm-hmm. And because I'm a fan too. Let everyone know that. But I get home without frame with this jinky shadow box. I take the sticker off of the backing of the shadow box. So like what you're going to see behind whatever you're shadow boxing. There's no backing. It's just like brown particle board. Like it's not black or color. You know, it doesn't match the... And I was like, the picture very specifically makes it look like the background is black. And I'm like, God damn it, this whole fucking day is a waste. Because I have the flu. I ventured out, like, medicated up to my mind just to go to Michael's so I could do this. And they fucked me over 10 ways to Sunday. So, just like the UFC, if there's a representative from Michael's listening, fuck you.
Is Michael's just as overpriced in the United States as it is in Canada?
Oh, absolutely. But my wife is bananas for Michael's coupons. So she always has I don't know if you guys have seen Broad City, but on Broad City, Abby is obsessed with Bed Bath & Beyond and has like a whole envelope full of coupons and her mm-hmm. roommate throws them away. And he goes, well, they were expired. And she goes, that's only on there to fucking throw off idiots like you. They never expire. And that's exactly the way my wife is with Michael's coupons. Like, she's like, yeah, I know it says it expired in 2008. It'll still fucking work. Just trust me. We're using this coupon. So,
you're the guy walking up to the register being like, and I have a coupon. And then the 14-year-old kid who's back there is like, oh, this was expired 3 years ago. And then you're like, my wife said it would work. And you're already in a craft store, so you have, like, no man credibility.
I don't know about you guys, but down there, but up here, Michael's always has, like, a rotating, 40% off one item sale.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I've gone in there before.
Today, the shadow box was 40% off today. So, I almost smashed it when I got home because it was cheap.
I've gone in there before with a paper coupon, and... they look at it and they're like, oh, yeah, this expired like yesterday. I'm like, oh, sorry. And they're like, not to worry. we have another 40% off sale, and they just whip out a piece of paper from behind the checkout, and they just scan it. Like, I swear, you could just walk into the store and be like, oh, I had a coupon for 70% off, and I left it at home. And they'd be like, no problem. We got it behind the register. And then you're still paying, you know, 40% more than you'd normally pay with that 70% off. But at least, you know, you feel like you got a discount.
Yeah,
have you,
that's the
you guys ever done, you guys ever done custom framing there?
Mm-mm.
Okay,
I live
so,
in a trailer, no.
that's the thing that finally got me, where I was like, this is just the biggest craft scam ever. They had a, it was like 60% off custom framing, plus an additional 25% off on like a one-day-only thing. And so we got my buddy this, like, you guys ever played EverQuest?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we got him this EverQuest print from like his favorite expansion, and it was signed by the artist who died like 10 years ago, and I don't know how we found this print. My wife managed to dig it up somewhere, but and it was basically just like a print of the original cover art, which was like 50 times the size of the actual you know, game cover art, and it had all this other stuff. So we're like, all right, we're getting it for him as like a combination Christmas and birthday gift, and we spent good money on the print, and we're like, we might as well just get it custom framed as well, because it was a really awkward size. It was like 18 by 38 or something like that. So I roll it up, you know, take it there, and we get the measurements and stuff done. And the lady goes to me, and I'm thinking, I'm like, okay, well, how much can this cost? It's got to be like $150 to frame it, right? And the lady goes, okay, it's going to be $365. I'm like, I'm saying to my wife, I'm like, that's pretty expensive. I'm glad it's 60% off plus 25% off. I'm like, well, how much is it on with your sale? And she goes, that is the sale price. Our normal price is $1,300. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
That's stupid. Like, I don't even know what to say. I'm literally dumbfounded right now that they would.
It's an 18 by 38. It's not like something half the size of my living room. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, wow. Holy shit. Like,
I don't even know
what to say that. Fuck Michael.
We just had these crazy shutters put into our kitchen to cover the sliding door. And, you know, this thing's, I don't know, crazy, whatever. My wife and my mother-in-law picked it out, and they had it, you know, custom built, and guy came and put it in and all that. And I'm pretty sure that was like $1,200.
That's
and this
ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say.
I had no words. And the thing is, I'm looking at it and I'm like, well, I don't really have a choice. Like, what am I supposed to do? Where else am I supposed to go? Nobody else is custom framing this area. And if that's the going rate, then I'm probably going to get the same price elsewhere.
No, I would find somebody like online or on eBay or some shit willing to do custom frames.
Well, the best part was the glass. They wanted another $200 for like special UV coated glass. And I was like, you know what? I don't even want glass at this point. So, and they're like, well, you have to take glass. And I was like, just give me the default stuff then. And I'll tell my buddy not to put it in the sunlight. And if he does, it's his problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Ugh.
Hold on. I'm tweeting about Michaels and how shitty they are. Hold on.
This is a typical Beards on MMA, by the way. We're 20 minutes into the show.
Yeah.
And we've spent more time talking about custom frames than MMA.
Well, that's what
so,
I just said. I said, only MMA podcast has been 10 minutes shit-talking Michael.
Yeah.
So, and I tagged him in it. So they're going to know. They're going to know.
Well,
I tagged him in it. Fuck you, Michael.
Beards on MMA legal team says that in order for us to be an MMA show, we do have to spend at least 5% of the show talking about MMA. So did you guys watch UFC 184? Because I finally got out and
I watched 16 seconds of
event.
The only important fight. Yeah. I saw the best meme today, I think it was, where it was a picture of a sad-looking Dana White, and he was basically like, shit, that whole fight's going to be a gif by the end of the night. <You know>? Like, everybody's going to be passing it around. Damn it. if anything that I took away from 184 was that I felt vindicated, that I have not nor have I ever been impressed with Holly Holm, and she lived up to my completely non-impressive expectation. So, like, Holly Holm is not that good, you know, and I think that the first time, I don't know, yes, she won, but I think she's not going to go anywhere. That's what I took away from Holly, from 184. I was like, I was right. That's
Yeah, I mean, honest with you, I was actually expecting a split decision. And I was thinking, you know, and when the split came down, I was like, I don't even know who won that fight, but I'm pretty sure Holly Holm did just a little bit more. Like, she definitely dominated that first round. The second round to me was a little bit dicey, and then the third round was, you know, pretty clearly Raquel Pennington's. I think that, I mean, Raquel Pennington to me was, she did exactly what I thought she would do. You know, I know that she had difficulty with the takedowns early, but she basically, that was the exact fight I was thinking she was going to fight. And it didn't surprise me again that one judge gave it to her.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even want to talk about it anymore.
All right. Yeah, fair enough.
No. You know, it's just whatever. I just feel like she's getting really played up for no good reason. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that there are other women in that division that should be getting paid more attention to that aren't, because Holly Holm has, you know, this boxing background, and she, you know, she was hyped up in boxing, but I think we've seen that, you know, throughout history that, you know, of MMA, that really, really good boxers don't necessarily, or even pro boxers don't fare well as MMA fighters, you know, just because you were a good college wrestler. I know plenty of, you know, All-American, you know, D1 college wrestlers that don't transition well to MMA. So she came in with a lot of hype, and she's never been an exciting fight. I can't remember. I've seen a lot of Holly Holm's MMA fights. You know, she fought for us at Bellator even. And I've never seen one that I was like, that was a dope fight. Like, they don't exist. Like, she does not particularly have exciting fights.
She's had pretty impressive finishes, though. Like, that head kick on Alana Jones. The body kick on, I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm pretty sure that Holly Holm's pro debut was against our pal Mike Biddle's wife.
It was Christina Domke was her pro debut.
Yes, I think that's Mike Biddle's wife.
Well, but my point is, okay, so Holly Holm
has an exciting finish
against Alana Jones.
Yeah.
Let's say the head kick. Alana Jones' current record is 2-5. You know what I'm saying? So my point being that, yeah, she can have an exciting fight. She has them against people that are basically put in there to make sure a fighter has an exciting fight. You know, those people exist, and I don't know. So I've just never been overly impressed with Holly Holm, and I think she's getting too much hype.
Fair enough. You know, I think the one thing that surprised me the most about kind of the aftermath was looking at the salaries. You know, Holly Holm held, and her manager Lenny held out for so long, and I was thinking, oh man, when she signed with the UFC, she's got to be getting like, you know, 50-50 or 70-70, you know, maybe like Eddie Alvarez money. And Holly's manager was complaining before and saying, you know, we're not about to sign a contract for 15-15 or 20-20, and she's making 25-25. So I'm wondering if, you know, she's got pay-per-view points on the contract or something like that, because
you
basically held her out for, you know, a year or 2 years over an extra 5-5 when she probably could have been making.
When she fought for Bellator back on Bellator, I think it was 91. I want to say that she fought for like 10-10.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she's definitely been steadily increasing, which is one reason she said she held out from MMA for so long, because she was making more money boxing.
Yeah.
So, and then she had trouble finding matches, and that's why she wanted to move over to MMA. But I know that there was no way, you know, we may have paid her that, you know, but I don't think there's any way Legacy or, you know, any of those guys were paying her anywhere near 10-10 or 20-20 or even 25-25. So in her last fight before this Raquel Pennington fight was against Juliana Werner in Legacy. And I know Legacy doesn't have that kind of cash laying around.
Right.
So she's definitely willing to take a small drop to, in order to further the, you know, the brand. So, you know, it's a smart thing to do. That's one thing I will say in Holly Holm's defense is she has an extremely intelligent and an extremely dedicated management team around her, which, you know, more fighters need for sure. But that's what I've talked about before. One of the bad things about MMA is that they don't have that kind of management team in MMA. You know, so many MMA fighters, their manager is their friend that needed some extra cash, you know? And whereas whenever you're over in boxing, man, you got a fucking team over there. You got fucking people taking care of you and getting them paydays. And MMA is just it's really lacking because there's so much like, oh yeah, who's your manager? Oh, it's my buddy Joe. You know, he works down at the car lot, but you know, he takes care of me on the side, and you know, that kind of shit. And Holly Holm is smart. You know, she has good management around her.
If I were an MMA manager, I would be like Jimmy Hart, perhaps Harvey Whippleman. I would go all in. None of this. Well, we can do 5 and 5. Email me a contract.
Yeah.
I would be bright jacket, bull horns. I mean, hyping them up down to the ring. I would be helping them with the trash talk because the trash talk's lacking.
So,
well,
let me take you back. Antonio McKee. Antonio McKee is that manager, okay, in MMA right now. Right.
So if you're saying, but if you're saying that you'd be like the Jimmy Hart, you know, the bright jackets and the megaphones and the yelling, the "Let's go, baby! Come on, baby!" How come you can't be Burt Watson's replacement? Because that'd be perfect if you're just going to Jimmy Hart the whole time.
Well, because one, I never saw Burt Watson wear airbrushed clothes, which are rad. And two, it's like I kind of want to cheat. So it's like he's there being positive and nice, and it's like, I just kind of want to talk shit and cheat.
I can see you in the middle of an MMA fight trying to distract the referee and throwing the megaphone over the cage. I can see you doing that.
Oh, absolutely.
I practice. I would, you know, I'd be rattling the cage, and when the ref looks, I'd just be like, what? Throw my hands up. I, wahoo. And then, boom, guess what? Poke in the eye. I think I want to do this now. We need to
just
any fighters.
All right.
Any fighters out there want some help? Let me know.
Let's do it.
We got you.
Let me just close up with a couple thoughts on 184 here before I move you over to the Bellator British Invasion, Matt. I want to give you some kudos because you called Valmir Lazaro over James Krause.
Yes, I did.
And I want to give me some kudos because all week I was telling people that Juan Carnero was going to beat Mark Munoz pretty easily and nobody would listen to me because I don't know why. I guess everybody just had faith in Mark Munoz, but I just,
you were even telling me, you're like, dude, no, it's not happening.
I wasn't 100%. I guess I was like 99% sure until the day of the weigh-ins when Mark finally said, I just let myself go. And I was like, well, Juan's been pretty damn motivated for the last, little while here, especially after that, all the bullshit that happened around that one day tournament. So I don't know. I was sold. It was kind of like, it was the last time I had that feeling where somebody was just going to walk through somebody like that was when Cody fought Marcus Brimage. And so I don't get that feeling very often, right? But I was like, I can't see any other.
I even argued. I even argued with you about that. I was like, no, Munoz. I was wrong. I admit it. I bow down to Matt right now. I was wrong. I called Munoz on that fight.
But
so.
I will say, Matt, when you gave me your picks that night, you were perfect up until the Carnero and Munoz fight, and that. And the Gleason-Tibau fight were the only ones that you got wrong the entire night. And I was with you on Gleason-Tibau, so.
Yeah, so I went, 80%, if I'd have been betting individual fights, I would have done all right. So my parlays would have got fucked up. if I were betting individual fights, I would have made some cash for sure on that. But unfortunately, I don't live up in Canada, and they won't let me do that shit down here in Florida. So I got fucked. But.
All right, so let's switch gears.
I really think we should revisit the airbrushed clothes idea. I can't stop thinking about this.
Why don't you bring it up with Josh when we bring him on the air in a couple minutes?
Okay.
You can be his Jimmy Hart, maybe.
He's too classy for that.
let's switch gears over to the Bellator British Invasion. Matt, your thoughts on the night, being somebody that was only feet away from what was going on.
First of all, I thought the crowd was dope. Connecticut really, every time we go up to that location, like the crowd really shows up in force. But one thing I will say is they do not hesitate to let you know when they are unhappy about something. And they definitely did that during the Mo Kongo fight. not exactly the most exciting fight, but the best thing about that was Jordan. I don't know if you saw this or how much they showed it on TV of Kongo fighting Jimmy Smith for the microphone after that fight. Did you see that?
Yeah, I think I caught a replay part of that.
Yeah, he just, you know, it was, you know, Kongo comes up. So basically the crowd is booing King Mo, and he tells them that Connecticut sucks, which, you know, he really plays that pro wrestling heel persona very well. But Yeah, right? You are a King Mo fan. And he's actually, you know, one of the better things about Mo is that he's, I don't even know if I should say this, if it breaks the image, but he's not like that. You know what I mean? He's a very cool guy. He's very relaxed and chill. But Kongo comes up over Jimmy Smith's shoulder and starts to grab the microphone, and Jimmy Smith says, "Nope," and holds on like both hands. And somebody on the internet compared it to like Jimmy Smith holding onto an ice cream cone that his big brother is trying to steal from him. You know, that's what they called it. And, you know, and what I thought was kind of cool was that Kongo was telling the crowd not to boo Mo, that he won fair and square, et cetera, et cetera. So I thought that was an interesting kind of turn of events, but
that was literally the best wrestling Kongo did all night.
Yeah. I love it. He really got out wrestled, didn't he? I mean,
yeah.
Mo is a great wrestler and everything, but Kongo definitely had a size advantage. And Mo just was like, "Nope, ain't having it. You know, I'm the better wrestler here." It was interesting to see. And Mo's wife was sitting right behind me, actually. And it's always funny when the wives are near me because of how excited they get. You know what I mean? So like she's sitting there screaming, you know, like hit him. You know, it's like you're sitting around in your living room, you know, watching a fight. And then instead of that, like, it's their wife right behind you, and it's real life. You know, you're not watching this on pay-per-view with your friends in your house. It's real life, and she has a vested interest in how well he does in that cage. And, you know, choke his knee, you know, shit like that coming out. You know? And it was just and some of them get upset. It's something we never really talked about on the show for. Maybe we should, like. Like, there's always the MMA wives around, and some of them, you know, are criers, and we all know those. Like, we're like, "Oh, that's so-and-so. She's a crier. Okay, so she's going to be crying the whole fight, whether he's winning or losing. Just be prepared for that," you know, that sort of things, like, on the production truck. But, yeah, that was a – I wish that fight had been a little bit more exciting, but then Liam McGeary and Emmanuel Newton came along right behind it and just killed it. With an exciting fight, so.
Yeah, I like Liam.
I think he set he had to have set some kind of like record for sub attempts, you know. And the problem is with guys that are as tall as Liam, 6'6", you know, he was landing a lot of triangles, but I think that they just, you know, he's so lanky. I think he has a hard time tightening them up on somebody that's so much shorter than him, like Newton, and. And then later in the rounds, obviously he went in the championship rounds, and he was so much sweatier. But actually, I'd like to, I don't know if you watched it, but when we have Josh Sample on in a few minutes, I'd actually like to get his opinion on if he watched that fight and what he maybe felt like Liam was doing wrong and not being able to finish some of those subs. So it should be an interesting perspective for us.
Well, you're gonna get that chance because I do have him on the line.
Well, it's about damn time, Pro Matt.
Well, our... our guest tonight is a good friend of the show, the Gremlin, Josh Sampo. He will be meeting Justin Scoggins at UFC 187. And I believe that the fight may have been taken because somebody, it may have been us, started the rumor that Justin Scoggins gave himself the nickname Tank.
Oh, we don't deal with that. We don't let that fly.
That's right. And
go ahead.
in typical Blog Talk Radio fashion, I don't think that I can actually get Josh off mute into the live studio. It keeps kicking him back. Josh, you there with us, man?
I'm here. I don't know if you guys can hear me.
Oh, it finally
Yeah, we
worked.
Can hear you.
Oh, cool. Yeah, good to go.
15th time's the charm. So, Josh, one of the things that we started talking about off the show was the fact that Burt Watson's no longer with the UFC. And before we stop talking about MMA and start talking about video games and booze and the Ninja Turtles with our guests like we always do, can you tell us what your experiences with Burt were like backstage?
Dude, Burt, like, made it an unforgettable experience. I'm so sad to know that I saw that link today that he was retiring along with UFC. Dude, he just made it completely worth it. When he came in, he was just extremely friendly, would just talk to you, just a great guy. And he treated everybody like he's known their entire life. Made me feel a little at home when I first met him. And just every time, it's like he knew you by name and, you know, took the time to get to know you, talk to you, you know, mess around with you and stuff like that. So it was, it's a bummer that he's not going to be there, man. Patented rolling that he always yells at, you know, right before he's walking out. And I'm going to miss that. Definitely going to miss that.
Josh, you know what I just noticed? I'm looking at your Sherdog. I'm looking at your Sherdog profile right now, and I don't think some of the people at home are going to find this as funny as I do. But they have you listed as your hometown is Lindenwood, Missouri. And for all the people at home, Lindenwood, Missouri doesn't exist. Lindenwood is a college in St. Charles, in Missouri. Somehow they have that down as his hometown. So. There you go. I was like, hey, wait, what the fuck?
All right. From a different angle, though. I'm so badass, I had to create a place that could contain me.
That's right.
That's right. That's Lindenwood, Missouri, population one.
You get me wet, you know?
you know what? Just a couple of weeks ago, I was asking Matt for like the 450th time. You know, it's been a long time since we've seen you in the cage, and so long that Matt, you're probably getting sick of me asking you, when's Josh coming back? When's Josh coming back? It was almost like, you know, when you road trip with kids who keep asking, are we there yet? It was like that. Every time in casual conversation, Matt, when's Josh coming back? When's Josh coming back? Dude, what have you been up to during this entire layoff here? Because it's been almost a year.
Yeah, I fought back in July, and then after the fight, you know, I took a 3-month training expedition through California California, Nevada. Spent some time with my family, and then just trained, just went and saw different looks, saw different people. Spent 5 weeks at Alpha Male, which was amazing. Had such a blast up there. Spent about a week, I think maybe 8 days with Ian McCall and his camp down in L.A., and then trained with. Cobra Kai and those guys down in Vegas. Visited family, stuff like that. So I just got away from St. Louis just to go train and see a different part of the world. My coach and I agreed not to this year, so I kind of had some time to reflect and just kind of find out what I really wanted to do as a fighter. And so that really it opened up my eyes and kind of gave me a new motivation going out there and roll with those guys. It was completely a different. My experience there was different than I expected it to be. I was worse in positions I thought I was really good, and I was a lot better in positions I thought I was bad at. I mean, so they just completely exposed, like, a lot of holes in my game, and I was like, wow, this was really, really good for me because it helped me refocus where I need to be and where I want to be, too. So it was definitely, definitely worth the trip.
Yeah, that brings us to your opponent at 187, who I mentioned, Justin Scoggins, a guy that we've, again, we're assuming invented his own nickname. So hopefully that gives you a bit more fire, but he's like the rare flyweight that likes to, you know, throw hands and keep things standing, and he's got, I think it was 4 or 5 first round, you know, knockouts. What do you know about this guy outside of the fact that he's someone that really wants that early finish, and you know, he's been getting it with pretty regular consistency prior to his UFC debut?
The only fight I actually remember watching him fight was against Dustin Ortiz, and that just came in like a huge wrestling battle. So I mean, it might end up something like that. I don't know. I mean, it could go anywhere. I think he's just a very – he's a young kid. You know, he's only 22, 23. But he's a tough fighter. It's going to be – I haven't really sat down to break down any of his film yet, but it's going to be a good preparation to get ready for this fight.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so Jordan had a question for you, and it related to to management and a very Jimmy Hart thing. So, Jordan, I'm going to let you go with that.
I don't know
what question it was.
Oh, man. Yeah, I was like, what are you talking about? Like, you and I don't know what you're talking about.
I guess it was more a proposal than a question.
What, okay. Do you want Jordan to walk down in front of him? You like that?
Yeah, so I thought that's what we were getting at.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Jordan, go for that. Make your proposal. I think that Josh might be into it. I don't know.
Well, it's I don't really want to call it a proposal. It's more of a lifestyle. for the past 5 minutes, I've decided I want to be an MMA manager. Now, mind you, I have no business experience and I can barely use a computer. Hi, Hewlett Packard. But I want to be the Jimmy Hart of MMA. I want to be jumping around. I know MMA is an honorable sport, but I like to cheat. So I can offer services there. I live in a trailer park, and we have a community room that we can rent out and do practices and drills and stuff like that.
The important thing, Josh, I think, is that Jordan gets to wear airbrushed, like, suit jackets and sunglasses and like,
I want,
like, things like
I want
that.
I want airbrushed overalls.
There you go.
How tall are you and how much do you weigh?
Oh shit! Well, I have depression, so I fluctuate. I'm about 5'9", and I go between 160 and 200 pounds.
Okay. Do you think you could carry me in a backpack?
Yes. We've talked about it. Josh and I have been talking about this for years.
Okay, so evidently, you've seen Ace Ventura. Yes or no?
I'm sorry. What was that, sir?
The movie Ace Ventura.
Yes,
the second week, sure, yeah, you have to fight that aborigine, and that big-ass dude comes walking out, and he's like, I got to fight this guy, and then he turns around, and there's a little freaking, like, demon dude in a bag in his backpack. I've been wanting to do that as an entrance to the UFC or to any fight for so long, but I can't, like, get up the nerve to actually do it, you know? And I think that, hey, man, if you can put it in a backpack, we might be able to make that happen.
But depending on how crazy you want to get, we could do a Krang Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles thing, where I can be the big robot guy, and I can front pack
Krang.
And yeah,
and that's what this show is. You know the best thing about this is I'm sitting here thinking, man, I kind of wish Josh fought for Bellator because we kind of do walkouts like that now. like you're allowed to do any kind of crazy bullshit you want to do now on Bellator Walkout. And I'm like, I wish Josh would come over so that we could literally stuff him in a backpack and walk out. And I think that would be the dopest thing ever. Shit.
This is the event to do it too. This is a really high profile event, Jordan. You should think about that.
Well, who's going to tell us no? Burt Watson? Don't think so.
You soon?
Yeah, we're free and clear now. We can do whatever we want.
This, ever since I thought about it like 5 minutes ago, this has been a lifelong dream. I need something like this in my life. I'm literally sitting in the kids' playroom doing a podcast playing with Legos. I need to step it up. I need that. I need that wild card. You know, I need that back. But I am building kind of a badass Lego ship. So
there you go.
Cool.
Right on. Legos are badass.
Yeah, I wasn't here. I wasn't on the last show when you guys had Josh on. So this is our first time chatting.
Oh really? So okay. So then we've talked about it many times that Josh's main pet peeve is fighters picking their own nickname. You know, and I think that we had an interesting discussion with Michelle Ould last week because she hates her nickname, and I don't think I realized that, which because it's the dopest fucking nickname ever, you know, Thundercat. But she's like, listen, I hate my nickname, but that's the nickname I was given, so that's the nickname I have to have. You know, so she's definitely in Team Sampo with the no giving yourself nickname rule.
Yeah, so this is how it goes with nicknames. Like, a nickname is something that other people call you, not what you call yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like, you should never be allowed to pick your own nickname, because otherwise you're just going to have retarded ones like fucker, or, you know what I'm saying? It's retarded. Like, you should never be allowed to pick your own nickname. You know, growing up, it's not like what you do to yourself. I want to be called this. No, it's not how it works. Mom and dad give you a name, your friends give you a nickname, and that's how life rolls.
I'd have been able to pick my own nickname as a child, I would have just been called Blade. call me Blade. You know, that's just how it would have been. And then I would have looked back now and have been like, whoo. Luckily, I got stuck with was Maddie my whole life. I've been Maddie my whole life, and I'm all right with that.
Okay,
so.
I got it. You know who you turn into when you pick your own nickname? That motherfucker on the internet that has the Mr. Cool Ice tattoos everywhere.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Dollars
Josh,
for donuts.
Have you seen that?
He decided he wanted to. Yep. That's what happens. Pick your own nickname, you're Mr. Cool Ice.
Mr. Cool Ice.
Apparently that guy, like, I think I read somewhere that guy is super embarrassed about all those tattoos as well. Like,
oh,
he's
no
like,
shit,
I
would be too.
He has Mr. Cool Ice tattooed like 11,000 times on his body.
like skulls and...
Oh, man. I feel bad for that. I really legitimately feel bad for that guy. But, you know, he did it to himself. It was a conscious decision, so...
He should, I mean, it's like I have to walk around with face tattoos and stuff like that. That doesn't bother me as much as it would have, like, having Mr. Cool Ice down my forearms. I mean, like, I have half the Lucky Charms tattooed on my face. I still feel better about myself than that guy.
Jesus, look at this guy. I'd forgotten about this guy.
Oh, you just looked him up. You just looked him up, didn't you?
Mr.
Cool Ice.
I've seen him before. I've seen him before, but I didn't realize he had it tattooed more than once on his body, and he got ice on it.
Oh, it's like all over.
Oh my God!
His hands and his back and his chest and, you know, all over the place. You know, it's ridiculous. You know, but that's what happens. Like we said, that, you know, he got Sampo'd. That's what happens whenever you nickname yourself. You live in infamy on the internet forever.
Yeah.
So that's just the way it works. But. Josh, what else have you been up to? Fuck fighting. Let's not talk about fighting for a second. What else have you been up to?
We just got done with the state tournament for wrestling. I coach a high school wrestling team. I had two seniors this year that were undefeated up until the state finals. One stayed undefeated. Texas guy in the finals, and he's already signed with West Virginia. So I'm proud of him. His name's Connor Flynn. Awesome
nice.
Kid. My little brother, pretty much what he is, he's a awesome kid. His name's Nick McGee. He was a senior as well. He was undefeated up until the state finals, and then he had to wrestle the number one ranked kid in the country for the Missouri state title. And he got beat, but I mean, I'm so proud of the kid because he went after him. Even the other kid's coach came up and said he was really impressed with him and how he went after Keyshawn Hayes is the name of the other kid. And that's how Nick went after him and tried to take the match to him. But the other kid's skill level was just so high that we couldn't, you know, close the gap on him. But I was extremely proud of him. That kid put in so much work in the past 4 years. And I mean, you can't really hold your head to something like that. Like, you go undefeated and then you lose the number one ranked kid in the country. There's nothing to be mad about there, you know?
No, you can still pick your head up on that for sure.
Yeah.
That kind of leads me to a question. How do you see, you said you signed with West Virginia. What is, you know, for a while there in the late 90s and early 2000s, we saw like a shrinking of wrestling and a shrinking of the scholarships available to a lot of these kids. You know, is that still the case? Are scholarships starting to come back a little bit, or not so much for wrestling?
Scholarships are not. The way that D1 programs work is they're only allowed to give out like 9.9 scholarships. So you have to, you know, fund a whole team with that amount of money. You know what I'm saying? So you only get 9 full scholarships, and then if you break that up, you have to put 10 kids on the mat, and then you still have money left over for kids for the next few years and so forth. So I don't think that there's more scholarships, but I think that more programs are starting to pick it back up. Like Fresno State actually dropped their program, and then they got them back this year. So I don't know if they have a coach yet, not this year, but I think they're in the running to start their program back up for next year, which is awesome. Fresno State was a really, really bad. They had a 2 or 3 national champs from there. Steven Abbas was a 3-time national champ for them, and he fights now, but I don't think he's fought in a while. But I think that MMA has actually probably brought a lot of focus back to it, even when they dropped it from the Olympics. I mean, that brought a lot of focus back to it as well. The Middle East, like all those countries like Iran and Iraq and Jordan and Azerbaijan and all those countries band together to bring wrestling back because that's the only sport that they even meddle in is wrestling. You know, there's not a lot of sports in those countries. So Russia and, you know, all those countries that they really were pushing to get wrestling back. And then they brought it back, but it's going to be on the docket again. So it's weird how, like, across the world that people don't look at wrestling, which is like the oldest sport known to man, as an Olympic event, but something like ping pong or badminton is still going to stay in the Olympic Games. It's disgusting how that happens, but.
You know, you kind of remind me, AJ and I got into a pretty heated debate yesterday. We were in the gym lifting, and they had ESPN on, and they were showing a cheerleading competition. And we got into a really nasty debate on whether or not cheerleading was a sport. And the reason that came up was because a good friend of mine just went to work for the NCAA, and she got assigned cheerleading as one of the sports, and they get, like, scholarships and everything. And I was under the impression that I do consider cheerleading a sport. And AJ, surprisingly, it's funny because you think it would be different with boy-girl, but AJ was like, that's not a fucking sport. You know, you should have heard her in it. You know, and she's like, they're giving scholarships for that? Fuck those guys. You know, and she's like, they should be giving out more wrestling scholarships. You know, that kind of stuff. So it's just, it kind of reminded me there of that we took the opposite roles. And then we decided we actually managed to, because you said badminton and shit, that's what reminded me. We decided while we were lifting that we were going to rank sports as 1, 2, or 3. It's a tier 1, tier 2, or tier 3 sport. And cheerleading and badminton and NASCAR all got ranked as tier 3 sports. And then things like wrestling, basketball, and football got ranked as like tier 1 sports. So that was how we broke ourselves out of that fight.
Interesting. I feel NASCAR is a strong 2, possibly a 1.
Tier 2 sport.
Well,
you know, I was like, but they train and they compete, and you know, they're very physically fit, and you know, they're, and she's like, if she hates CrossFit, I'm not a huge fan of it myself. But AJ despises it. And she's like, if we call cheerleading a sport, we have to call CrossFit a sport. And I was like, well, it is. Like, they compete against each other, and, you know, it's on ESPN, and they have the CrossFit games. So she's like, well, it's level 3. If it's a fucking sport, it has to be level 3 at best. Okay. Whatever doesn't get me kicked out of bed tonight, we'll call CrossFit cheerleading and NASCAR a level 3 sport.
That was for me.
So,
that.
You're down with that being a level 3.
ESPN kind of blurs the lines, though, because, you know, they still show poker and they still show spelling bees and stuff like that, too.
Dude, the spelling bees are dope. Don't talk shit about spelling bees.
Is the spelling bee a sport, though?
Well, I think, like, I don't want to sound racist here, but, Matt, you're Indian, and that's, like, your people's thing, like, right? Like,
Look, I'm not...
You guys always kill it on the spelling bee.
I'm not going to confirm or deny whether or not I participated in spelling bees when I was in elementary school, but I don't think it's a sport.
I don't know, do they sweat up there? I think they do. They're at least a level 4. We'll make a level 4.
That's right.
Was anybody here an athlete?
If we're going this angle, then stuff like debate is a sport. I mean, come on. You look at some of those nerds, there ain't no way that guy can even do a push-up, and now he's an athlete? Come on.
I do think it's interesting, like, what you define as a sport. Is sport just defined as competition of some sort, or does it have to be physical in nature? You know, I think that that's really what it comes down to. I don't think that there's a strong definition of what, you know, because people on the chess team, like, oh, I play a sport. I play chess. And I'm like, motherfucker, I know how to play chess. That doesn't make me an athlete. Right? So, you know, does athlete and sport, do those mean the same thing? Do you have to be an athlete necessarily to be playing a sport? Which is where NASCAR comes in, you know.
Matt, I can play sport, and it says an activity involving physical exertion and skill in which an individual or team competes against another.
Well, they move the pieces on the board. I don't.
not a sport.
I would not say debate is a sport. That's actually one that I would agree with you wholeheartedly on. I don't think debate is a sport at all.
Spelling bee is very competitive, and yes, it's a competition, but definitely not a sport.
You know, I definitely like Like, okay, but here's an interesting one that always comes up every Olympics. Is curling a sport?
Yes.
I think it is.
No,
I think curling is a sport because
as
they're
a,
out
as a
there,
Canadian,
they're skating, they're...
As a Canadian,
oh,
I'm staying out.
Canadian,
I'm staying out of this. I'm staying out of this.
I actually do think curling is a sport, but it's just not. You know, it's a sport like NASCAR, where it's just not.
Oh,
you know,
are you kidding me? Come on.
What, curling and NASCAR? Wait, you don't think that? Wait.
I think curling.
Wait, I don't know
curling,
where you're going with that.
Curling and golf. Curling and golf are comparable.
Okay, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. Curling and golf, about the same level of physical exertion.
It's what old people do. Come on. I mean, if I was fat and like to drink beer all the time, well, I like to drink beer, but if I was super fat, I'd be doing a curl. I'd be curling. Get sponsored by Bud Light and just go out there with a beer and a holster. I mean, that sounds like a good time.
Yeah, to be
but
honest with
sport?
You, having, again, being Canadian and having curled a couple times, it requires very little physical exertion. You actually,
I mean, I
the,
curl.
The most demanding thing about curling is actually trying to keep balanced when you throw a stone.
But, like, I can't skate. I can't ice skate for shit. I'm good at a lot of other physical activities. Ask my wife, you know. But I can't skate for shit. And, you know, I was waiting to see if anybody picked up on that. But I can't skate for shit. So, to me, curling's a sport because they're out there on the ice, and I can't do that. You know, that's something physical that I literally – don't have the talent for it. So,
well,
you know, to me, that's what makes it a sport.
They're wearing shoes, though. They're not on skates.
Yeah, they're on those, like, little, like, sandpaper shoes or whatever. But you know what? I still can't stand up on the ice. I'm fucking retarded. That's why I moved to Florida. I can't stand up on the ice.
I heard Peter could be Jamaican bobsled team, okay? But look at him now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on right near the beach, boy.
And that's where this show goes.
Yeah.
We devolved from talking about serious MMA to, is curling a sport? We don't know. We know fuck cheerleading, though, and the debate team. Fuck those guys.
I think if you're going to say that curling is a sport, then you have to say that hunting is a sport as well. That's about as much energy as you expel. You walk around, you shoot shit.
I do,
you know,
think, I actually think that hunting is a sport. Because... Yeah. Well, and I will say this. I will say hunting if you're stalking. Okay, I don't think sitting in a tree stand necessarily, but if you're stalking, if you're, you know, you're on foot and you're actually stalking.
Okay, so you're bushwhacking, trying to find a deer, hiking through the mountains. I just think it's a recreational activity, not really a sport, and I do it all the time.
Yeah, I mean, is fishing a sport?
And that's how you kind of compare it. This is how I compare it in my mind. If it's a sport, you have to train to become better at it. Or in shooting, you just go target practice. You know what I mean? You don't really go out training for like a half marathon and then go hunting. You know, I got to get ready for hunting season. You know, I got to go start running. I got to hit the weights. You know, no, you don't.
Oh, I would agree with that.
Ride up the mountain,
but I
get
think,
off, get some deer, throw it on, you're on your way.
You know, but I think there are people out there that are hunting and fishing that are training, you know, to be better. You know, they're learning skills, and they're learning how to walk properly and learning how to camouflage themselves properly and scent, and you know just from somebody that shoots a lot. And Josh, I know that you're familiar with firearms too. You know, there's a certain level of training to be able to take a good shot, especially in the heat of the moment, you know, like when a deer presents itself suddenly. I would say, you know, you're like, oh shit, you know, your adrenaline goes and you have to calm yourself down and calm your breathing down and take that perfect shot. So
yeah.
It's hard though to say, like, because with hunting, it's the luck of the draw. Like, it may be that, yeah, you got a, you know, a 12 point buck or something like that, but, and you won, I guess, today, but I just didn't have any bucks come into my, you know what I mean? Like, even into my view. So, yeah, I guess I would agree though. Hunting and I'm stuck on
the
fishing now.
The recreational activity. You say recreational activity.
A lot of our viewers and listeners are hunters and fishers. So I don't want to piss them off. I'm trying to find that way out
hunting.
In the middle.
I love hunting, but you don't train, you know, half part of the year for hunting season. You, like, you get your gun.
But see, that was what I said about cheerleading. I said to AJ, I was like, these girls train. They're doing basic you know, gymnastics. They're learning dance moves. They're exercising. They're eating right. They're doing everything that athletes.
Come on. They're doing jazz hands. I agree with AJ. She got a PhD.
Oh, no, 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 no. These girls are doing back handsprings and backflips and, like, seven, you know, story tall pyramids and dropping from the top and shit. Like, come on. This isn't Bring It On. This is, like, high-level D1 cheerleading shit. Cheerleading is a sport.
So is WWF a sport?
Yes. I actually do consider it a sport. The outcome may be predetermined, but I do consider pro wrestling to be a sport and the fact that they train to be better.
Okay, then I agree with you. Cheerleaders are athletes. Is it a sport? No, but they're athletes. Bam. Lawyers.
That's an important distinction. Okay, I'll agree with you. I'll agree with you there. You don't necessarily need to be competing in a sport to be an athlete. Can we say that?
Yes.
Okay, there we go. Boom.
So therefore CrossFit is not a sport, but CrossFit.
But they are athletes.
Yeah. Mm.
Yes. See, it's like how many problems in the world we just solved with a few drinks and a half-hour podcast. That's how we do things.
That's two big problems we solved tonight.
I feel really proud of us. I don't know.
Yeah,
I feel good about it.
This is the most accomplished podcast that we've ever had.
I feel like we solved some world problems. You know, I feel like, you know, we have Sampo on again. We solve world hunger, you know.
Yep.
She's like that, so. Sorry, I do have the flu tonight. I keep muting the phone to cough. I feel really bad about it. I'm definitely creating, like, mute and drop spots. So that's my bad. But
I didn't notice up until now.
Well, now you will.
I didn't.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to say anything.
Yeah, thanks, George. And I got sick. The vice president of Bellator, I doubt she's listening, but if she is, Carrie, you got me sick, and you know you did this. So it's your fault.
Speaking of Bellator, what is your thoughts on this Kimbo Slice versus Shamrock fight?
Honestly, 100% honest, and I'm usually honest on this podcast, even if it means talking shit about Bellator, so I'll say this. I think that it's good, but for this reason. Is it a fight that a lot of hardcore fans want to see? No, I don't think it is. People like myself or maybe the other guys on this podcast or yourself, Josh, is it a fight that we all necessarily want to see? No. Is it a fight that will bring in a casual viewer? And, you know, and will it be one of the biggest rated shows in history for Bellator? Absolutely it will. And what I love about that is the same thing that happened with Ortiz and Bonner. Ortiz and Bonner was another freak show fight. But because of Ortiz and Bonner, a lot of people got to see Will Brooks beat Mike Chandler. And, you know, Will Brooks is on a lot more lips and he's a lot more well-known. So I think that by doing it this way, they can have this one freak show fight, you know, Shamrock and Slice. And in doing so, they'll be able to bring a lot more attention and a lot more eyes to other people on the card that deserve it. So I think you throw one fight on there like that, four fights on there that are, you know, legit, and it benefits the legit fighters more than it does anybody else.
I want to be completely honest with you. I wanted to see Shamrock and Kimbo, what, like 7-8 years ago, and it was supposed to originally happen. So I'm okay with this. And it was purely due to the I don't want to call it the freak show factor, but it kind of is the freak show factor at this point. You know, Ken Shamrock is
a total freak show fight.
Yeah, 76 years old, and Kimbo is, you know, 48 years old, and you get the two of them in there, and they'll be punching dust out of each other. But I think it's awesome. It's going to be so much fun.
Here's a question: Are they going to allow them to use their canes in the cage?
You know, if they do, you know, I'll just pack some extra swabs and everything, you know, for the cut.
Is a walkout attire a walker? You know, they got to use a walker and have tennis balls on the legs and use that to get out through the cage. Or do
you know,
roll
and,
them out
and that's what I think. Like, and I don't disagree with you on that. Like, that's the way that fight is. It's a silly fucking fight. It is. It's a silly fucking fight. But I'm at the same time, I'm sitting here and I'm watching the fighters on our roster, and then watching them go bananas on social media to get on that card. And the reason they went on that card is because they know a lot of other people are going to be watching that card that are casual fans and sponsors and things like that. And so while that fight itself is the one bringing in eyes just for that freak show factor, just for to see if one of them actually has a heart attack or like a stroke or has Alzheimer's and forgets he's even in the cage. You know what I mean? But, you know, am I going to have what?
You have a crash card right next to the cage?
Oh, there's always one anyway, you know. You know, but it will bring a lot of eyes on our younger prospects and maybe people that deserve it. Like, I know Paul Daly. Paul Daly wants on that card so bad. Like, I fully expect maybe a Paul Daly-Brennan Ward matchup on that card after this last show, because he knows, you know, people are going to be watching it for that, and he wants people to see him. So, you know, and that's what I think is smart about it. You know, you put on one fight like that, but you get, you know, that's only 20% of the fights that night, you know, on the main card on Spike TV. The other 80% are going to be legit people that are going to get a lot more eyes than they ever would have got on any other card. And so that's kind of what I respect about the, it's like, okay, that's a silly fight, but I respect the method behind the madness, I guess I would say.
I want you to promise me one thing, though. On that night, I want
I'm
you to promise
sure
me
to be in Shamrock's corner. By the way,
you will. Okay, I want you to promise me that you will do everything to convince Ken to walk out to his old WWF theme song.
I can try. I do have control of that list. I think we all know that because of how many fighters have walked out to Danger Zone. So we all know I have control. So, a misprint, typo could be made. I don't know. That would be fucking cool though. I want to know if Kimbo's going to just walk out to like just old, like, the opening music to all those porn videos he was in, you know, that would be the thing. But yeah, like I said, that fight is silly, but I hope it just brings, you know, I hope it brings 2 million viewers looking at, you know, Will Brooks again, or, mm-hmm. you know, maybe Lima
Rickles.
Or somebody like that. Rickles. Rickles probably will be on that card. It'd be a travesty if he wasn't so close. So I expect Sampo to be in the house for that card, by the way. We talked about that, but. I know he's supposed to be out of town at the time, but I expect him to make at least a 24-hour jog in and hang out with me and throw some Bengay into the cage during that main event. So
I'm definitely gonna make it here for that. Definitely gonna be back for that. So
that'll be dope.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. I think I may be mistaken about this. But Matt, are we just about out of time for Sampo?
Yeah. We're actually 10
okay.
minutes over the
okay.
show, our usual hour. But that's what we normally do. Again, we have
that's
rules.
That's how we roll,
rules,
bitches.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I was raised on the internet.
Josh, if you ever get sick of using the nickname The Gremlin, I think based on how much you've furthered the world's cause with everything with us tonight, you should definitely consider the problem solver, because I think that would probably be a very, very good nickname
for you,
too. That's
kind of a dope nickname, too.
Yeah.
Josh the Problem Solver Sampo.
I don't know what to do with my hands right now. Like, they're just floating right now. that's what I was saying before. Like, if I get dubbed that, then I have to rock it. Like, I'm not going to choose it.
I mean, we may start a Twitter campaign. I don't know. We'll see how
is it
going to
be the problem solving gremlin? Is that what it's going to be now?
Oh, the gremlin problem.
The gremlin
problem. There you go. But no, it's Josh. You know, it's always dope to have you on, and you're cool because you relax with us a lot of.
That's right.
We've had other guests from Detroit that don't relax with us as often as you do. So we always appreciate having you on. And, you know, good luck. So, Matt, you want to take us out on this? Cause I don't know. You know, it's funny. I can say goodbye to a guest, but I don't know how I'm supposed to end the interview with a guest. Cause that's producer Matt's job.
Yeah.
So I don't know all the producer lingo.
That's why you guys got me. So Josh, one more time before we let you go again. Thanks for coming on. Why don't you show? See, I haven't done this in so long that throw out your Twitter handle, any Facebook personal pages, anything else you got to say, sponsors you got to thank. This is the time.
All right, cool. Thanks for having me on the show. You can find me on Twitter at JSampoMMA. You can find me on Instagram at MMA Gremlin. You find me on Snapchat at Gremlin Time. Let's see what else. You can find me on Facebook. Oh, yeah. Josh Stephanie. So I made them all probably the same. That probably would have been a lot easier, but yeah, that's lame. Thanks for everything. Thanks, St. Charles MMA, you know, everybody that helped me get here. Thanks for having me on, guys. It's been fun.
It's always fun, man. Awesome. Thank you for coming on. We'll talk to you soon.
Cool. Hey, guys, take care. All right. Thanks, Josh.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
This is Josh the Gremlin Sample. Always a good guy to chat with. Always a good interview.
Yeah, very open guy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and willing to go places. Like, we start leading him down a road, he's like, "All right, that's the road we're going now, motherfucker. Here
this.
We go."
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, you find that in very confident people, and Josh is definitely that. So, mm-hmm. You know, confident in himself. And go ahead,
Matt. Before we close out for the night, I got to play like a 10-second snippet of something, and you got to tell me if you don't think it would be cool if this would happen. Kind of just going back to Kimbo and Ken Shamrock again.
Okay.
Come on, can you not see Michael C. just rocking it as Ken Shamrock walks out to that?
I think that would be awesome, but honestly, as we were talking about it, you know, whether I should do that or not, my thought was, do you think the WWE would throw a fit? Do you think that they would be pissed if that got used on Bellator and Spike?
Do they own the rights to the song? That's the question. Because
I think
they did.
Do. But we get free use for the live broadcast. That's why on like UFC DVDs, you know, that's why the music is different from their actual walkout music. So I think we could play it, but, I don't know if they would, you know, I don't know if the Spike people would, like, I think that's one of those situations where if I, like, tried to slip that in there, the Spike people would be like, I think we're just going to play Danger Zone. I don't know.
Yeah. Let me just see, because it all depends on whether or not it's been composed by Jim Johnston, right? Because Jim Johnston's their guy. And there was a lot of shuffling back and forth in that Attitude Era where they were just using a bunch of stock music. So that's why you hear, like, Randy Orton's old theme music or, like, Hardcore Holly's theme music being used in, like, World's Most Dangerous Police Chases and things like that. It's just because they just...
Yeah.
If Jim wasn't composing it, they just dipped into, like, a stock music thing somewhere. Let's see. I'm gonna go into the ProMat archives here and tell you that song was on WWF The Music Volume 3. And I don't know why.
Okay.
I know that off by heart. And it was composed by Jim Johnston, so the copyright on that is probably still active, unfortunately.
Ah, boo. All right, well,
but
now we know.
Like you said, it's okay for the live broadcast, right? Like ECW...
Yeah, we can use it on the live broadcast, yeah.
ECW never paid a cent for what their wrestlers came out to, and they were just using AC/DC and... You know, Sandman used to come out to Enter Sandman, so you could probably, you know, maybe you could skip it under.
You get away with it.
It's not like Spike's in the pro wrestling game right now, so.
Yeah, that's true. So, a way to point that out. you know, we'll see what we can do. I will do is I will let you know, because I do get the list. I will let you know what he picks. Not necessarily publicly, but I will let you know. So we'll
okay.
See how
well,
goes.
You know what? Just like my expectation that Mark Drummond was going to walk out to our opening song tonight, "Sweet Dreams from the Eurythmics," at the last World Series of Fighting, and he didn't. I'm expecting to be very, very disappointed. I'll just put it that way.
I don't know, man. Never underestimate Ken Shamrock. You know?
Yeah, you never know. I mean, there was that rumor that was floating around for the longest time that Bill Goldberg wanted one MMA fight. And if Bill Goldberg didn't walk out to his old, like, WCW entrance theme, which is, like, the it to me is one of the most intense songs ever made, I just – it just wouldn't be the same. You know what I mean?
I agree,
like,
100%.
When Ken Shamrock came out to that song, you knew that shit was going down. Like, you'd see the look on his face.
Was it
–
What did he walk out to when he fought, though? Anything? Did they even have walkout music, really, or was it just generic?
I can't remember. Yeah. I mean, you could probably there are archives out there where guys will keep track of the theme songs that guys walked out to. I mean, the first few UFCs would have just been their generic theme, right? But I don't know, like,
yeah,
especially the Tito fights. I don't know if he walked out to something or what he walked out to. No idea.
Yeah, that's something I'll have to look up and we'll maybe take a look at. But anyway, all right, we're going very long.
So on behalf of Cutman Matt, on behalf of Jordan, another good week, guys. Thank you for doing this. We had a lot of fun. Thank you to the Gremlin, Josh Sampo. Back next week with our boy referee, Mike Beltran. At least I'm hoping we're going to get that all firmed up, and I'll talk to you guys offline about that. Jordan, in closing tonight, I got a song for you, all right?
Yes, sir.
We'll catch you next week. Take care.
It seems like yesterday, but it was long ago. She was lovely, she was the queen of our nights. There in the darkness with the radio playing low, the secrets that we shared, the mountains that we moved, caught like a wildfire out of control. There was nothing left to burn and nothing left to prove. And I remember what she said to me, how she swore that it would never end. I remember how she held me oh so tight. Wish I didn't know now what I didn't know then. Against the wind, we were running.
From my home, I guess I lost my way. There were oh so many roads I was living to run and running to live, never worrying about paying or how much I owe. Moving 8 miles a minute for months at a time, breaking all the rules I could bend. I began to find myself searching for shelter again and again.
Against the wind, we were running against the wind. I found myself seeking shelter against the wind. What to leave out.